The angels are created beings with a purpose, and they're going to fulfill their purpose. And that's why later we'll be talking about how to activate their purpose, because that's very important as well. We could have angels that are bored with us. And I had a story about a very bored angel that was not working in my behalf because I didn't know how to cooperate. So we're going to find out how to cooperate. So this is very exciting.
Hi, you're listening to Java with Jen with your host, Jenalee Samuel. On this show, I bring the simplicity of hearing God's voice into everyday life in a no-nonsense, authentic, and super practical way. With coffee in hand and real life in our faces, let's do this. Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for joining me for another episode here at Java with Jen. I am super excited to share with you my guest today. Prophet Phil Rich is a dear, dear, dear friend of mine and my husband's. We met him back in 2005, and he is actually the person who has coached me and coached my husband in the prophetic and taught us a number of things that I don't know if we ever would have learned without Prophet Phil. And what I appreciate about him is that he loves the Word of God. He is a doctor. He has a theological degree. You can correct me, Phil, on anything I'm getting wrong here, but he is trained in the Word. He is thorough in his study. And that's what I love about him, because it's very trustworthy as far as the content that he's teaching. And you will get a taste of that. In today's episode, we're talking about activating angels, the ministry of angels, and how to engage with the angelic realm on an intentional way for your Christian life. And so, Prophet Phil, I'm so happy to have you.
Thank you. It's so great to be joining you today.
Absolutely. So you have a ministry. You live over there in Oklahoma. Why don't you introduce yourself a little bit for my listeners who are not familiar with you?
Okay. I have a prophetic apostolic ministry. And I travel all over the world, many, many countries and across the United States. There are churches that call me their apostle. There's churches that call me their senior prophet. And so whatever I'm needed in those two realms, I'm available to minister in churches that way. I do have two doctorate degrees. I have one in theology, and I have one in personal prophecy. And so I have two of those, and they're earned degrees. I've spent a lot of years studying and going to school and doing stuff in different ways to put that together. A lot of studies. And so because of that, that's why I have those degrees. And they're actually earned degrees. They weren't just given to me.
Wow.
I did earn them. But we're excited to travel and minister to people, and we're excited about today and being able to just share some great things. We do see a lot of miracles and signs and wonders. We've had four people we've seen raised from the dead, and the Lord did it, of course. We're just
wow.
vessels. We've seen a lot of creative miracles and dental miracles, even teeth growing in where there's no teeth. And
yeah.
And we had one boy, 12 years old, who didn't have an eyeball, and God grew the eyeball for him.
Wow.
In a meeting. And so we've seen a lot of those things take place. And to God be the glory. I don't do those things, of course.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one. But we're vessels that join hands. It's our identification with Christ and our oneness with Him and our relationship with Him that causes those things to take place. And so I'm excited to be with you today.
That's so good. I just love it. Well, and you guys have heard some stories. If you've been following my podcast for a while and listen to any of my episodes on the prophetic, those are episodes number 12 and 13, and then number 37 through 40. There's four of them in a row there. And most of that content that I taught you guys, I learned from Prophet Phil, and we've seen miracles being plugged into his ministry, a lot of financial miracles where we would sow a seed into Phil's ministry and we would see breakthrough come from it. And so that's when you know you're sowing into good soil, because you're going to see good fruit from good soil. And so we've just walked for years with Prophet Phil, and his ministry has proven to be fruitful. And so that's why I wanted to bring him here. I trust him a lot. And so we're going to dive into this topic of the ministry of angels. Now, this is something we have not visited here on my show. I think maybe I've mentioned angelic encounters I've had before, but for most believers, just learning to hear God's voice is like a stretch. And so learning about the ministry of angels can feel very like, whoa, what are we doing here? So would you maybe even simplify, how is this something that a believer is meant to engage with? Is that, how do we know that we're doing it healthy? I mean, which we're going to touch on a lot of this, but maybe for anyone who's very skeptical and like, what, this is a new concept, how would you simplify that for regular believers?
I think the key to it is to realize that God created angels to do his bidding mm-hmm. for him, but also to minister unto his people, the heirs of salvation, his children. And so there's so much great information on that we'll be covering today. I know there's three basic things that angels do for us. Mm-hmm. They minister to us, and that happened in Matthew 4:11 with Jesus when he finished the temptation in the wilderness. Mm-hmm. And the angels came and ministered unto him. So the angels will come and minister to us. Mm-hmm. Now, we also know that they minister for us. And that's in Hebrews 1:14, where it said, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who be the heirs of salvation? So the heirs of salvation, the angels will minister for us. In other words, that which we cannot do, they can do for us. And so those angels have been sent to minister to us, for us, but they also minister with us. In Revelation 19:10, there was an angel that appeared in this passage, and John the Revelator was tempted to bow down and worship this angel because this angel looked so much like God and had the glory of God all over him. And the angel stopped him and said, no, don't do that. I'm a fellow servant with you. You know, worship God.
Yeah,
I'm not that. And so anyway, the angel stopped him and said, I'm a fellow servant. Fellow servant means that I minister with you. I assist you in spreading the gospel. I assist you in what you're called to do in the earth. So the angels are created beings with a purpose, and they're going to fulfill their purpose. And that's why later we'll be talking about how to activate their purpose, because that's very important as well. We could have angels that are bored with us. And I had a story about a very bored angel that was not working in my behalf because I didn't know how to cooperate. So we're going to find out how to cooperate. So this is very exciting.
That's so good. Okay. So we're going to actually, I want to give you guys a teaser. We're going to be taking the content that Phil is bringing and breaking it up over 3 episodes because there's a lot that we can cover on this. And essentially he's going to first teach us the 3 basic things that angels do, which is what he just shared, and then some unique qualities about angels. And then he's going to talk about the different types of angels that there are, which is really insightful, and then how to activate angels. And so those are going to be our 3 different episodes. So if you're not subscribed, make sure you're subscribed so you don't miss them when they come out. But Prophet Phil, so they minister to us, they minister for us, and then they minister with us. Do you have any real life examples of what that might look like? Let's say my listener, she's a mom and she's got kids and she's married and regular life. What would it look like for angels to minister to her, to minister for her, or to minister with her? What would that look like?
Okay. If we are in need of something, the angels are really there for that. They can minister to us. For instance, my dad, several years ago, was in the hospital, and he was praying. In fact, the doctors didn't expect him to live, but he had a conversation with the Lord, and he told the Lord, I will do whatever you ask me to do. I will submit to the ministry. That was before he was even willing to submit, and he submitted to the ministry, and the peace of God came over him, and the presence of God filled that hospital room. And he began to hear an angel choir sing to him, to minister to him. And every time he would think of a song that he knew, just thinking of it, the angels would sing it in perfect harmony.
Wow.
And it went on for, I don't know, 45 minutes to an hour. And the last song was a song Dad used to really love, and it's called God Is Still on the Throne, is the title of the song. And the angel sang that to him, and he was in total peace, went to sleep. The next day, a miracle happened while the doctors were working on him, because they really didn't think he was going to make it. They called the family in. We were there.
Oh, wow.
And they said, we don't think he's going to make it, but we're going to try one last thing. Well, because of that ministry of angels and his relationship with the Lord right before that, a miracle happened during the surgery. And dad lived another 25, 30 years, and he preached the gospel.
Wow, that's incredible. That's angels ministering to you. That's incredible.
Right, right. And as far as angels ministering for us,
wow.
I have more than one example of that. One was in Russia, and I was in a very large church, and the people were so hungry for the prophetic, so hungry for the miracles, that this church of 2,000 was so jam-packed, even on the steps were people. The walkway was people. I barely had enough room just to get to the pulpit. And so there's no way I could have laid hands on anybody. But I preached what the Lord gave me about his healing power and his love. And all of a sudden, from behind me, I had this vision of angels just flooding into the sanctuary. And they were spreading out all over the sanctuary. And as soon as they did, the Lord would give me these flash visions of body parts being healed. And I would call those out. As soon as I called those out, those angels would rush to where those people were, and the angels were putting their hands on them.
Wow.
And people were testifying to being healed. I mean, it's like the whole 2,000 people, anybody who needed anything received it. But the angels were doing that for me because I couldn't do it. I couldn't get to them. And it was just a glorious, glorious experience. And I saw it in Israel as well. I minister in Israel as a missionary. And same thing happened there, where the angels came from behind me and just began to spread out. And a lady who had a tumor on her leg, big cancerous tumor on her leg. And I called that out. I say, I see a lady with a tumor on your leg, and that tumor is disappearing right now. And the angels were rushing to these people. I mean, going right to where they were. She testified that that tumor disappeared off her leg. And then she said, I'm ready now to receive Yeshua as my Messiah.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
Beautiful
that's
experience.
Amazing. Is there an instance where people might see angels ministering for them or to them with their natural eyes, or is it usually something they just see in the spirit?
Now, that's quite a good question. In fact, I'm not sure exactly how to answer it, because we have both natural eyes and spiritual eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14, it says, strong meat belongs to those who are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So we have spiritual senses just like we have natural senses. Mm-hmm. And our spiritual senses can become so acute to where we can't tell if we saw that with our natural eyes or our spiritual eyes.
Yeah.
And I've had that happen. So a lot of times people say, well, I actually saw it with my natural eyes, but maybe they really didn't, because again, angels are in the spirit realm.
Yeah.
And so it could very well be that what I've experienced, where it was so real, my natural, I actually thought I was seeing it with my natural eyes, but
yeah,
I wasn't. I was seeing it with my spiritual eyes.
Yeah.
And yes, they are very real, and you can see them, but the best way to see them is with the eyes of your heart.
That's amazing. Now that you're talking, I can think of a story. I've shared it on my podcast before, but I've only shared it maybe once, where an angel ministered to my mom, or actually on behalf of her, because she was driving down the road late at night. She had just washed a bunch of laundry. She had my older sister in the front seat and laundry baskets in the back. And she was driving and she saw a hitchhiker on the road. And my mom is like a chronic giver. And so she doesn't always know when it's a safe situation to do that and when it's not. And so she starts pulling over to help this guy. But as she gets closer, she realizes, oh, he looks a little sketch. So as she pulls up, she just prays real quick. And she was like, Lord, it's too late for me to drive past. I don't want to insult the man. I pulled over to help him, but if he's not safe, just protect us. And so she asked Crystal to climb in the back seat. And then, so the front seat is open. So she pulls up and she either throws open the door, rolls down the window or something. And she goes, "Hey, where would you like to go?" And this man looks at her and he starts cussing, angry cussing. And she was like, and he goes, "Man, lady, don't you be making fun of me. You don't got no room in that car. I see that man in your front seat and all those seats are full." He goes, "Don't you be making fun of me." And he's like chewing her out, thinking that she's mocking him because there's no room in the car. And so she knows the front seat is wide open. There's no one sitting there. And so she says, "Okay, I'm so sorry." She closes the door and drives off because she realized there's an angel in her front seat that he could see that she could not. And that was the Lord protecting her from potentially a dangerous situation. And so I just love that. Sometimes people will see them, you know?
And that's so wonderful. And that just reminded me when I first was in the ministry, I think I was 16 years old. Uh-huh. And I had traveled in Arkansas to do some ministry. And I was coming through Springdale, Arkansas. And my car, it quit on me, but I had a knowing that it was the fuel pump that had gone out because I had plenty of gas, but it wouldn't run. So I'm by the side of the road and I'm not a mechanic and I don't know how to fix cars really. And so I just prayed and I said, "Lord, you have angels that know how to do mechanic work. I call them mechanic angels." And I said, "Send some by to fix this." And in just a little bit, two vehicles pulled up right in front of me. And these two men got out and they came and said, "You having car trouble, I guess." "Yeah." And I said, "I think it's the fuel pump." And they looked at it and they said, "It is the fuel pump. Guess what? We're going to run and get one right quick. We'll be right back." So they went and got a fuel pump and put it on. And they said, "No charge at all. And go ahead and get in your car," because I got out to talk to him. And I got back in the car to take off and there were no two cars in front of me.
Wow.
They were gone.
That's incredible.
And within just seconds, there's no way they'd even had a chance to leave.
Yeah.
And so, and I was praising God and I said, "Lord, thank you for answering that prayer. You sent a couple of mechanics."
Yeah. That's amazing. That, you know, now that you're saying that, look, we're just going to keep coming up with stories, which is good. I like stories because it helps people who are listening to connect with, like, oh, maybe a situation I experienced was actually an angel. When I was a teenager, probably also around 16, 17, I was on a missions trip and we were in, where were we? Romania. They drove on the other side of the street. So maybe it was New Zealand. I don't remember. And we were in this country. I think it was New Zealand. And we were doing street ministry. So we were waiting at the bus stop. And there, you know, the buses would drive on the opposite side of the road. And they, you know, it was a little bit of a different setup. But the bus was coming. And so we were sitting there waiting for the public bus system. And then as the bus is coming, we hear a motorcycle coming very fast down the road. And so we look and the motorcyclist flies by us and he looks like he's gonna, you know, switch lanes to move around the bus, but he doesn't. He just stayed in the lane and flew into the bus and fell on the ground. And like we watched as we're going into ministry, we all witnessed this like tragic accident happen right in our eyes. And we're a bunch of teenagers, you know? And so my team leader, about that time, our bus got there. It was across the street, another bus that had happened to. And so we get on our bus and we're all kind of stunned. Everyone's kind of speechless. Like, how do we go into ministry after just witnessing that trauma? And there's a gentleman who gets on the bus and he stands right next to our team leader. And he just starts talking to him. And he's like, "Yeah, it's really sad. Some people, you know, they just go early." And he starts talking like as if he knew about the situation, knew that the guy died on impact, knew some facts and figures. And our leader was like, "Okay, why are you in my space? And why are you talking like you know what just happened?" And so the guy keeps talking, but then he starts speaking scripture that just built up my team leader's heart. And he was like, start speaking the word of God to him. And then, so by the time this guy, by the time we reach our stop, my team leader's spirit is built so that he can lead us into ministry. He's feeling built up. And then, so he goes to say goodbye to the gentleman and the gentleman's gone. He didn't see him get off. He doesn't know where he went. The gentleman was just gone. And so he just was like, "Well, the only thing I can assume is that he must have been an angel because he ministered to me. He built my spirit. He knew the word of God. He knew about situation and he disappeared." So
exactly, exactly.
Crazy.
And I so appreciate the fact that God created them to help us.
Yeah.
And they're really an extension of his hands and of his love for us.
Yeah.
And so that's their job. And they were created specifically for that. And I'm thankful that God has really extended, when I'm about extended, he really extended his love toward us by creating these very special creatures, angels that are sent to do his bidding and also to minister unto us and to help us. In fact, we have angels assigned to us at the time we're born.
Yeah.
And I saw that in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 10. And it says, take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say that in heaven, their angels, and that's like personal, their angels do always behold the face of my Father, which is in heaven. That's Matthew 18, 10. And so even at the time of birth, angels, and notice it's plural.
Yeah.
It's not singular. So there are many angels assigned to babies and little children, and they're there to help them. And when they're young like that, they really assist without anyone saying a whole lot, because again, those children can't really voice a lot of things that they don't even understand yet. But I'm thankful that is the case.
Yeah.
And I had something like happen when I was a child. I was swimming out in California, of all places. And I was, I was where the beach was, and I was out. I think it was in the Los Angeles area. I'm trying to remember where it was, but anyway, it was somewhere near a beach in California, because I was real little. And I was on the shoulders of my great uncle, and he was wading way out in the water, and a huge wave hit us. I mean, knocked us down, and I got separated from him. And he was frantic trying to find me. And no doubt, if there had been some help, I would have died. And the next thing he knew, his hand was on my ankle. He doesn't know how we got reconnected.
Wow.
But he was able to pull me up. So I'm thankful that God does assign the angels to help us. I'm thankful for their ministry. And I also found out that they can move at the speed of light. Very, very fast. You know, the Bible says God is light. So there's no doubt that the angels are going to move at that very speed of light. In Ezekiel 1:14, it says, and the living creatures ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning. That's Ezekiel 1:14.
Wow.
So they can move very, very quickly, and they excel in strength. They're extremely strong, and they excel in strength over all demonic powers.
Yes.
So demons don't stand a chance.
Yep.
Because the angels excel. And that's what it says in Psalm 103:20. It says, bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening to the voice of his word.
Yeah.
So those angels excel in strength. They are stronger than all demonic forces. And that's why we don't want to fear the enemy. We, as children of God, you know, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world, but also greater is he that's with us, including the angels, than all the demonic forces in the world.
What's that example in the Old Testament? There was a story of someone, and I'm struggling to remember who it was, but they couldn't see. They were scared and they couldn't see. And then suddenly the guy prays and says, Lord, open his eyes. And then he sees all of the angels. And he said, there's more for us than is against us.
Exactly. Yeah, that's a passage of scripture. That's basically the story is that the servant was very troubled because all the enemy had been, you know, that the whole army had been sent to get the prophet, because they were, you know, there was a fear about the prophet because the leaders were evil. And so they sent a whole army for one man and his servant. So it just tells you how powerful the prophetic is, and the prophets are, and the people of God are.
Wow.
They had to send a whole army. Well, he was telling you know, his master, Elisha. He said, "Boy, there's a whole army. What are we going to do?" He said he couldn't see in the spirit. He's blind. He was blind to the things of the spirit. And so the prophet, you know, began to pray, said, "Lord, open the eyes of my servant that he may really see." And all of a sudden, the servant started seeing. Wow. All these angels that were warring angels, warrior angels, surrounding the other army. Wow. And he wasn't afraid anymore because he saw what the truth was. And I think sometimes we need our eyes open to know that that God has sent reinforcing help. Don't be afraid, no matter how bad it is, no matter what's surrounding you. We need our eyes open in the spirit.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So there was a last one, that angels can appear in different forms, even as men.
Yes, they can. In Genesis 19:1, and this is really about Sodom and Gomorrah. And so the whole situation, God sent two angels in basically to help Lot and bring Lot out before the destruction. When they were there, there were those that that saw these two men, and they wanted to have relations with them. They were, there was a lot of sin in that place. And sure enough, when they tried to attack the angels just smote them with blindness. They were all blind and could not come in and hurt Lot or do anything that they wanted to do. And then the two angels then took them and ushered them out of Sodom and Gomorrah so that they could live.
Wow. Wow. So I feel like as you're talking, I keep thinking of all these different situations. I even think of like these YouTube videos that I've seen where it's all these crazy situations where people got ran over by a car and then they just get up and walk away from it, you know, or like all these different situations where someone should have died, you know, or should have been harmed and somehow they're magically just escape the moment. And I'm like, and so I think some of those, you know, videos are like, was this angels? But so going back to the angels assigned at birth, I have always wondered this, mostly because of an encounter I had, or a dream actually that I had when I was in Bible school in college. But I remember I went into a fast and I said, in my fast was just to have an encounter with the Lord. I just wanted to have an encounter with him. And it was actually a very dry fast. I did not have any encounters. I was like, this is like torture, man. What the heck is going on here? Like it was a struggle bus. And at the end, sometime during my fast, I had said, Lord, you know, I've seen demons before, you know, they're kind of creepy and unimpressive. And I was like, but I would really like to see angels. I would like to see my angels. You know, I didn't know solidly theologically whether or not I had angels, but I suspected I did, you know? And so I was like, Lord, I'd like to see my angels. And at the end of my fast, I had not seen anything, heard anything, had any, it was the most dry spiritual experience I'd had. And so I was kind of ticked off at the end, and you know, I had curfew, so I had to get in my dorm and my fast was going to be over that night. And so I was kind of mad and I was like, Lord, you said if we show up hungry, you're going to meet us and you didn't meet me. So you have one last opportunity to redeem yourself. I was a little cocky. And I was like, Lord, you could at least give me a dream, but I'm just brokenhearted. You didn't show up. And I put away this whole weekend to spend time with you. And I'm just brokenhearted. So I was just devastated. So I went to sleep and I had this really profound dream. And in the dream, I saw a white porcelain face, and it was my face, and it was pure white porcelain. And then in the corners of the eyes appeared two drops of blood, like tears, and they just ran down my face. And I felt like in that moment, the Lord was saying, hey, I have seen your hungry pursuit and your pure pursuit. And then in the next scene, I saw two angels, and one of them had the head of a lion, the body of a man, but the head of a lion. And the other one had the head of an eagle and the body of a man. And I felt that they were my angels. And in the dream, I kept saying to myself, Jen, these are your angels. God showed you these. Like memorize this. Remember this moment. These are your angels. And then I woke up from the dream. And so do you feel like that would be a moment where the Lord was showing me the angels he had assigned me at birth?
Yes, I do. I believe the Lord was revealing to you. Plus, he's also revealing what what is prophesied and revealed in Ezekiel 1:10, where it says, as the likeness of their faces, they had the face of a man, face of a lion, the face of an ox, and the face of an eagle. And it's really telling me that those angels can appear as any of those things. They can appear like a man, they can appear like an eagle. And I actually had an experience and a vision when I was taken taken up in the spirit, and I saw these big eagles. I mean, huge. I think their wingspan was like 30 to 40 feet from tip to tip, and they were big. And I found myself kind of up above them on a plank, you know, and I'm standing there and I see these eagles. But the craziest thing to me was they had saddles on their backs. And I'm standing there looking at them, and the Lord says, mount up. And I just jumped in this encounter, and I landed on the back of one of those eagles. And as soon as I did, then the eagle just kind of spread the wings, and it's like the wind caught us, and we were traveling over this landscape. And I mean, it was really smooth. It was beautiful, no fear of any kind. And I come over these buildings, and when I looked down, I saw some writing on top of the buildings. One said illness. I come over another one, and it says poverty. I came over another one, it said confusion. And so, and as we were going, and then the Lord said, I never meant you to just go through things. I meant you to go over things.
Wow.
And then he took me to the scripture. He said, you will mount up with wings like eagles. You'll run and not be weary. You'll walk and not faint. I said, well, then what kind of creature was this? And he took me to this passage. He said, wow. You'll not see the face of an eagle as one of the angels. And I always thought that that was all four faces was just one angel. And it could be, but the Lord was telling me that there are angels that appear like eagles.
Wow.
In fact, there's a passage of scripture. It says our God rides on the seraphims and the cherubims. He rides on them, on their backs.
Wow.
And so that's telling me that, you know, I think we limit and we don't understand a lot of things. And because of that, we're not really benefiting everything that we could benefit from. It's because we don't realize what's available to us, and we don't know. And again, those angels can appear in a lot of different ways. I was in Alaska, and these round balls of light were all around me, and they would move like orbs, you know, around me. And they would move, and we had such a high service of creative miracles. God was moving in the house in such power. And this camera guy, man, he kept taking pictures, and he showed me, took pictures of these round white balls that were moving around in the meeting. And so I found out that angels can come in so many different shapes. Why are we limiting how an angel can come? Because yes, there are angels that have wings. We see that in the book of Ezekiel. And so, and one angel had like three sets of wings. So yes, they can have wings, but they don't have to have wings. They can come in so many ways. In fact, sometimes to me, they're like a flash of light, because there have been times when I could see from a corner of my eye, a flash. Whew. And I was in this service, and I was preaching on healing and miracles. And I remember I turned, you know, to kind of preach and I use my hands a lot when I talk. So I kind of moved my hand like this, and out of the corner of my eye, I saw this flash. And when I got to looking, I saw that it was an angel. And this angel ran and laid his hands. He laid his hand on this man's head. He went back and laid his hands, both shoulders of another man, like two or three people he laid his hands on. And as soon as it happened, I called those people out, and I said to the man, and this guy was bald, and I said, an angel laid his hand on your head. Have you had chronic headaches in the past? He said, yes, but no more. He said, I felt a hand come on my head. I went back to the man at the back and I said, sir, do you have trouble with your back and your bones? He said, yes, I've had back surgeries and I hurt all over. My shoulders hurt, my neck hurts, my back hurts. He said, but not anymore. He said, I felt two hands come on either one of my shoulders.
Wow.
And all the pain left.
Wow.
And so, man, I'm thankful for the ministry of angels, and there's, they can appear in a lot of different ways.
Yeah. And you had a few scriptures that mentioned, what are some of the quick examples that scripture says that angels can appear? They're different.
Yes, I have several of those that we can look at. There's even one in Ezekiel that they can appear as a wheel within a wheel. That's Ezekiel 10, verse 10 through 12. And the bright lights appear like eyes. So could it be, I'm just throwing this out, that there's times when people have seen flying saucers and with the lights and the lights that would move and different things. I wonder if at times that's not angels. And I'm not saying all the time.
Yeah.
But at times I'm wondering about that.
Yeah.
So they can appear in so many different ways, both the wheel within a wheel and the eyes, and all of that is a part of that. We already mentioned in Ezekiel that they can appear as animals, and we know that. They can appear as coals of fire or lamps or the orbs.
Yeah.
In Ezekiel 1:13, as for the likeness of living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire.
Wow.
Well, so that would be like of something round that was on fire, that was bright.
Wow.
And like the appearance of lamps. Wow. Isn't that awesome?
So it kind of makes you wonder, because, you know, I'm over here thinking like a practical person, you know, like, what is the purpose of this? But I realize anytime I've heard someone have an encounter where they went into the heavenly realms, or maybe they went to heaven and came back, you know, or they've had spiritual experiences, I think a lot of times our human experience is such a fraction of what the experience in heavenly places is. It's just a fraction. And we tend to limit our thinking to what our experience is. And so then that, I think, is where we start to put things in boxes or say, oh, well, that couldn't be possible because that doesn't make sense, or I haven't seen that or whatever. But I mean, God in heaven, he makes the rules. He gets to decide whatever he wants to do, you know? And so if he wants to make angels look like wheels or angels look like eagles or whatever, then he can do whatever he wants. And it doesn't change basic theology. It doesn't change the salvation message. Doesn't change how we live out our Christianity. But it's just a glimpse, maybe even at God's immeasurable creativity and his bigness, you know?
Yeah. And that his ways, when you begin to realize some things, Paul mentioned the unsearchable riches found in Christ. Unsearchable means it's going to take all of eternity to search out the wisdom of God.
Yeah.
Because it's so infinite, and that his, without him giving us some form of revelation, we wouldn't even have the slightest understanding. And even what we do know and what we have received is just a drop in a bucket compared. And that's why heaven's going to be so amazing, is because there will be ongoing revelation that God's going to give us about himself. And one thing I learned, the revelation of God produces the manifestations of God.
Wow, yeah.
So when God reveals himself, something happens. Something's created, something moves, something is going to take place for our good.
That's so good.
Yes.
That's so good. Okay, so I'm gonna wrap this here, because I know we've got so much for these other two episodes. So you guys, make sure you're subscribed. In the next episode, we're gonna talk about the different kinds of angels that there are, which probably associates to some of their different jobs. But that's gonna be really fascinating. I saw Phil's notes, and there's a lot of them, and it's just really fascinating. So you're not gonna want to miss that one. And then in the third episode, we're talking about how to activate these angels intentionally through prayer and through partnering with the Lord. And so it's a very exciting way to just engage this level of spiritual activity in your life. And so if you want to connect with Phil though, and you want to find out how to stay in touch with him, maybe learn, he's got a School of the Prophets. He has lots of books and resources that you can get a hold of. So Phil, let people know how they can find you.
Yes. We have a website, and it's under all lowercase dr as doctor philrich.com. So drphilrich.com.
Okay.
Abbreviate doctor, drphilrich.com. That's our website. And once you pull up the website, you can check things out there. And then those little three dots at the corner, if you click on those three dots that's up in the right-hand corner, it'll pull up about our bookstore and all kind of information. And you can check that out and even order some things through that. So feel free to do that. And also you could join with our email list there. Mm-hmm. And there's a place for you to sign up to get emails.
That's good.
And so we would love to hear from you.
Okay, excellent. And he doesn't email a lot, so he's not going to spam you to death. But when he does email, it's definitely worth reading. So make sure you guys check all that out. I'm going to put those links in the show notes. Anyways, it was so good to have you guys this week. I hope this encouraged you and kind of stirred some fresh things in your spirit and some faith and some excitement about just the more that God has for us. And so don't go anywhere. Make sure you're subscribed so you don't miss the next few episodes coming out with Prophet Phil. And we will see you guys next week. Thanks so much for tuning in to today's show. Listen, let's stay connected. Come follow me on Instagram at Java with Jen, where you can follow the latest and say hey. It's a really great way to stay in touch. Many of you have also asked how you can support the show. You can make donations through the Anchor app or on Patreon, or of course, by sharing, rating, and reviewing on social media and iTunes as well. Your heartfelt feedback always reminds me why I do this. Also, don't miss our merch store, where you can get super cool Java with Jen swag and coffee. Find it at javawithjenmerch.com. Until next time, remember, hearing God's voice is simple, and He wants to be a part of your everyday life. See you next week.